everyone. Welcome back to Mercy Talk. This is Melanie Wise.
And this is Jen Otero. And if you were with us last week, you know that we've just started a new series for the month of June based on just the hindrances and helping people. Last week, we talked through just that lack of ownership and that difficulty that it can bring and really wanting to help someone, but they're just not taking ownership of their issues, the things they need to work through, their healing process. So today we're kind of shifting a corner, but very connected and talking through entitlement. What it looks like when you're dealing or working with someone who really struggles with that area of entitlement. And as we were talking before we even got going, there's just that place of entitlement is something I think everybody in culture has heard, or it's a word that we kind of know or sort of have an idea of. But today we're really hoping that we can kind of nail that down a little bit more.
Yeah.
And how that can kind of play out with people, but also how to really address it if you're dealing with someone and you recognize, wow, this person really has a sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Before we kind of jump into that, I think it is really important, like you said, to just clarify for people what we're actually talking about, because it is a very commonly used word, but we want to be really clear about what we're referring to today. And, you know, just by definition of the word, entitlement is the feeling or belief that someone deserves, you know, to have or to get or to do something that is unearned or unmerited. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking some before even this show and just how, you know, there are different types of entitlement. And I think what a lot of people immediately think about when they think of the word somebody who's entitled is we're talking about someone who's just always had it easy.
Right.
They just think that they're supposed to get everything on a silver platter, you know. And so that I feel like that is what a lot of people think of when they think of the word entitlement. But then there's another level of entitlement, especially when you're working with people who, you know, are really hurting or struggling, that they may have really, really gone through some really difficult things in their life, you know. And it may be a place of saying, you know what, because I went through this, I am entitled to this, or this is what I'm owed because of what I've gone through and the hard stuff I've gone through. So there's two different levels really that this can look like when you're working with other people. And so we kind of want to hit both of those. But I know that there was a quote, Jen, that I think you found by Dr. Steve Maraboli. I don't know if I said that right, but that's how it's spelled.
Sounds good.
But it says
Maraboli.
Maraboli? Maybe. Anyway, Dr. Steve said, a sense of entitlement is a cancerous thought process that is void of gratitude and can be deadly to our relationships and can definitely be deadly to a helping relationship. And so, you know, that's kind of where we wanted to, we just wanted to jump off first by saying, like, here's what it is. Here's what we're talking about. So, you know, we'll just kind of go from there.
Totally. And I think too, you know, even just thinking through examples of what this looks like, the way that it plays out, I think for instance, you know, my husband and I have an only daughter. Mm-hmm. And so we've had a lot of conversations having an only child. What does it look like to raise her in a way that, you know, we want her out of a good life and that things come relatively easily to her, but not to such a degree that the world revolves around her or that she thinks that somehow I'm owed something because of just the way that I've lived my life. You know, that there's such an ease over things that I don't understand that I have to work for things, that I don't understand that I actually have something to pour into in order to get back. And that's, I think, what I have seen a lot in counseling situations is if I'm dealing with someone who's struggling with a sense of entitlement, they aren't willing to work. They just think it's going to kind of come to them. And that's just, if anybody has walked through healing season, you could laugh out loud at that idea. Healing is hard work. And so if you're dealing with someone who has a sense of an entitlement that believes, well, I don't really have to work for the things because I'm owed it, you're really going to hit some walls because they're going to expect you as the helper to do a lot more than what they're willing to do. And it kind of, even as we talked about lack of ownership last week, it can kind of almost feel like it's a mirror image to some degree. But these folks are ones that it's not even that they're avoiding it. It's more of a, I just kind of expect it to come to me because things always kind of have. Does that make sense? And so I know for my husband and I, we've talked a lot about what does it look like to raise an only child to not have a sense of entitlement where she still is expected to do certain things. And because when you're an only child, it's easy for me to go pick up her shoes and hand them to her.
Right.
Than if I have five children, you know what I'm saying? Go get your own shoes. Like it's those simple things that can really pour into this idea of the world owes me and I don't have to work hard for things.
Yeah.
So if you hit a healing season, that can really hinder some things.
Well, and I'm sure that as a counselor, you've seen that a lot where it's an assumption of like, well, I'm paying you money to come and you fix my problems. You know, I'm sure that that's probably a pretty common thing that you've seen. I also think it's probably common in other settings where if you're seen as maybe a leader or someone who helps people or whatever, like, okay, well, I'm going to go to that person and they're going to fix my stuff.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes it is a little bit of a rude awakening when it's like, no, actually, that's not my job. As we always say, I'm not Holy Spirit Junior. I'm not Jesus Junior. I'm actually going to, you know, help and come alongside you and help support you in this process, but I am not going to do it for you.
No.
So I'm sure that's something that you've probably seen a lot in your...
And especially the way that I counsel and the way that we've talked through it, everything is based on me as the counselor positioning you to seek the Lord for what he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to give you apart from ushering you into the presence of God and helping you to hear from the Lord and to ask the right questions. That's just the way I counsel. Now, maybe different counselors or therapists would have a different take on that, but the way that we counsel at Mercy and the way that I counsel in the community, it's very much, this is on you. This is your choices. This is your responsibility. This is your ownership. I back you and I agree with you and I care for you and I pray for you, but ultimately you're going to get as far as you choose to get. Like, I can resource you and I can teach you tools and we'll position you, but ultimately you're going to get as healed as you choose to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're dealing with someone with entitlement, that doesn't go real well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, usually if I'm really dealing with someone who has a strong sense of entitlement, they typically don't come back to me for very long because they keep hitting the wall of realizing, wow, I have got to step into something and this is not going to be handed to me.
Right.
Whether they've come from, we've talked about this, whether they come from a background of privilege where they've had everything handed to them, or perhaps on the flip side, they've come from a really, really difficult background and there's an expectation and an entitlement that because I've walked through so much, the world sort of owes me,
mm-hmm.
or I get to avoid certain situations because I work so hard for my healing. Yes, you carry a certain sense of healing and that's awesome, but that doesn't mean you get to avoid the other hard stuff that life brings. You don't mm-hmm. suddenly get out of jail free card. You know, there is a reality of continuing to take ownership and responsibility for our healing process and continue to become more and more the son or daughter that God's called us to be.
Yeah. You know, I was actually thinking more about that specific scenario where, you know, you don't want to discount the hurt and the pain, the difficult mm-hmm. things that they've gone through, you know, where it's basically just kind of casting that aside. I think there's a place for, you know, even honoring and,
right.
and like you have gone through a lot
yes.
and not discounting that and still loving them, but also being able to communicate that doesn't actually entitle you to X, Y, and Z. So is there mm-hmm. anything else that you would say to that, Jen, in a scenario where you've got somebody who really, you know, maybe like it's an abusive mm-hmm. relationship that they experienced in their lifetime and they're like, well, I'm therefore entitled
right.
to hate all men
mm-hmm.
because men abused me. So what are you going to do with that? You know, I mean, is there a way that you can still totally honor and recognize the mm-hmm. difficulty that they went through and not try to discount it, but also say that actually...
Right. Still call them higher.
Right.
Totally. I think that's such an important question because you don't want to come across as though you're dishonoring what they walk
mm-hmm.
through, because there's a reality of, and I often will say, if I had walked your story,
mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that I'd probably be handling it the same. I'd be making the same poor choices. Like, I may even be handling it worse than you are.
Yeah.
But the reality is we often talk about the difference between excuses and explanations.
Yeah.
So we hit a point in life, no matter what we've walked through, where we have to make the decision on whether or not that's going to remain an excuse for us to continue to make poor choices, be in unhealthy relationships, whatever it is, or to go, that's a really good explanation for why I'm drawn to that, or why I want that, or why I struggle with that. But as an individual son and daughter of God who has a choice and a free will, I now get to choose whether I'm going to live my life an excuse or an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we choose explanation, it really does help us to honor what we've walked through and to realize that was really hard and that was not God's will and that was not what he wrote into my story. But I still have a choice whether or not I'm going to stay there. And that is where that entitlement is really comes to that crossroads.
Yeah.
Am I going to stay in an excuse and expect it to be handed to me or to avoid certain things because I walked through hard stuff? Or am I going to set that down and go, actually, I'm grateful for the fact that I have a choice
mm-hmm.
and I have free will and God's resourcing me with people or healing tools or whatever it may be. So now I'm going to make a conscious choice to move forward.
Yeah.
And so I think it is a little bit of both, especially as a helper. You never want to just bulldoze or blast past what they walk through.
Right.
But they have a choice how long they're going to sit there. And the beautiful part is helping them to understand that when you move through that storyline and you get the healing, you're now equipped to do something that I could never do because I never walked your story. So I can only take people so far. But oh my goodness, if you really get healed up,
mm-hmm.
there's no ceiling to what God could do through your life.
That's really good.
And so I would even just submit that entitlement seems to me a very good ploy of the enemy to keep people very, very stuck.
Absolutely.
In moving forward. And,
yeah.
and I think even as we talk through this month, we're going to recognize, wow, these are a lot of things that even in the spiritual realm, recognizing this is stuff the enemy tries to throw at people to keep them stuck
mm-hmm.
because it hinders their ability not only to get helped, but to get healed and then to move forward in destiny.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thinking back to a lot of the things that we covered last week. when we were just talking about working with people who don't seem to want to own or take responsibility for their issues. And, you know, I think what we talked a lot about was just how much that can wear on you as a helper. Yeah. And the same totally goes for working with someone who has a sense of entitlement, because there is definitely an assumption that you, as the helper, are going to do way more than you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And so if you stay in a relationship like that, you're just going to get worn out again. Yep. And so I think, once again, the end result ends up being you tired, frustrated, and them not getting the help that they need. Right. So once again, we're back to that place.
<again. laughs>
Like, if you don't draw the boundaries that you need to draw in a relationship like this, it's just going to end badly. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go anywhere good. And so I just think there's a place to say, like, that's going to be the end result again. And so, you know, I kind of want to, again, go back to, like, what do we do in these scenarios? Right. How do we draw these boundaries? Is there anything new? I definitely would encourage you, if you've not listened to the podcast from last week, that you mm-hmm. go back and listen, because we kind of talked through some practical ways to set boundaries and how to pray for them and all of that. So I think all of those things really apply to this. But is there anything different that you would say when it comes to working with someone who, you know, has this issue of entitlement?
Mm-hmm. I think there's two things. I think very similarly to last week, there's something to be said about being very specific. You know, if I'm dealing with someone with lack of ownership or entitlement, I need to sit down and have a hard conversation with them of saying, hey, this is what I'm specifically seeing. Mm-hmm. When you come into this counseling session with me, I'm recognizing you wanting me to work harder than you. I'm recognizing you wanting me to have the answers. I'm recognizing that you are not doing your assignments. You're not, whatever it may be, fill in the blank, that I specifically am noticing. And to me, that is communicating a sense of entitlement in your life. You may not be aware of it. That may not even be a word you've known before, but it's hindering my ability to help you. Mm-hmm. So with that, you have a choice whether or not you're going to start shifting out of what we're sensing and seeing. Or if you're not willing, then we need to have a discussion on where this relationship goes from here. And so really talking that through, as we've said about 6 times and probably will about 60 more in this next month. Mm-hmm. That's not easy conversation mm-hmm. to have, but you will not regret it. And as I've said, that person may end up coming around and thanking you for it mm-hmm. because you were cared enough to really call them higher. But I would even say, back to our Dr. Steve quote earlier, gratitude is what breaks entitlement. Yep. And so I really would challenge the people that you are connected with and helping. If they're in a position where they're willing to work through things and they're not closing down on you, there's something to be said about intentionally challenging them into a place of gratitude and thanksgiving. Even if that means you start your time with them in prayer, you have them pray. Hey, how about you thank the Lord for 2 or 3 things that you're really grateful for that happened this week? Like, getting so practical where you're inserting gratitude and thanksgiving into things. And then as you do, it starts to shift out that mm-hmm. entitlement. Mm-hmm. Because if I really start to realize, wow, I am really, really blessed, and there's a lot of good stuff in my life, it starts to shift out some of that sense that the world owes me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's just interesting that is such a big part of the gratitude piece mm-hmm. because... And I actually had to kind of think through it when we were talking about this, like, how does gratitude play such a big role in this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think that you're owed something, then you're not grateful for it.
No.
It's like, well, this is what I was supposed to get. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you start realizing, no, I wasn't owed this, but I was given it. And that makes me so grateful. Like, that's when that shift starts to happen mm-hmm. in your mind. So it really is a big piece, even though I don't know that would be something that someone would immediately assume, like, mm-mm. oh, gratitude will be a big piece
but
of this.
But this is almost the anecdote.
Yeah.
And I would add, too, that really having conversations about grace is a huge one too. Because if I believe the world owes me, I don't have a sense of God's grace. Mm-hmm. I don't have a sense of his mercy. And
Absolutely.
So I would even say specifically a resource that comes to mind is a book called Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh. It's one that I give just about everybody that I counsel if they struggle with the understanding of grace, mm-hmm. either receiving it from God, what God's grace looks like, but also giving it, that book is... It'll kick you in the teeth in a really, really good way. So that Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh, that's a really good one. So
good.
Anytime you can kind of shift the focus to the gratitude, grace, mercy, those things that are unmerited, like truly unmerited, that we just get this stuff because God loves us, it starts to turn that entitlement on its head.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Well, you know, the last thing that I would just encourage, and I know you've kind of already hit this, but I just want to be sure that we're clear that in these scenarios, what is so important is that you have a really clear-cut conversation. And then that conversation, I really feel like, needs to end with a very specific question.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh, this is what I'm sensing. What do you think? You know, I mean, it's like, I need to know where you stand with this. Are you willing to put in that work and put the ball in their court? Not to mm-hmm. say, like, this is what I'm sensing, so I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to ask you a very clear-cut question that I need, you know, the yes or no answer to. And if it's yes, then... I'm going to need to see some of these things shifting a little bit mm-hmm. for us to be able to keep going. But I'm going to let you make that decision right now. And so I just think really having a clear-cut conversation with a clear-cut question at the end for them to answer is going to be really good in helping to know how to go forward.
Mm-hmm. So, Mel, I guess as we get ready to wrap up, I think the last thing I would just encourage our listeners to be aware of is that a week from tomorrow, mm-hmm. we are going to be holding our next Freedom Experience in Monroe, Louisiana. So if you happen to live in that area or want to cruise in, we'd love to have you join us. But I would also say and really encourage our listeners as you're hearing this, just begin to pray over that event for us and with us. Our Freedom Experiences are they're not just a women's or men's conference. It really is a time and a place where our desire is for people to come for a day and a half to be part of learning the keys that we talk about on Mercy Talk, that we put out in all of our outreach materials, that we use in our homes for our girls to get freed up. And so the idea is that people are coming in for that day and a half and they're being taught on these principles and these tools and having some time of just some activation to start putting those things to work. And it's just really neat to see what God has done. In October when we had our last Nashville one, it was just awesome. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited and getting prepped and prayed up and ready for this time. And so we'd encourage you to pray. And if for some reason you're able to join us, that'd be awesome. We have another one in July in Sacramento, California. And like I said, these are not just typical events. These are really meant to be a time where people come in and get equipped and get a sense of new levels of healing to then take home and to really walk out. And so we appreciate your prayers and thoughts over that. And next week, we'll be right back at discussing these hindrances and helping people. And so we look forward to seeing you then.